You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're talking about the new movie Inhumanity. We're joined by director Joe McReynolds, cinematographer and actor Javier Garcia, and Carl Anderson. If you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. Also, head over to thedorkening.com to check out all of the other shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network. We have so many great shows like Secret Underground, Hideout, The Dorkening, A Dork Physique, and others. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Head over to deadlygroundscoffee.com, pick up some awesomeness. It's fantastic stuff. I buy it all the time. I love it. I was buying it before they were a sponsor. It's that good. But first, enjoy the show.
Here we are. With us today, we have Kevin.
What's going on, everybody?
Wolfman.
Oh!
Okay, from the movie Inhumanity, we have Joe McReynolds, Javier Garcia, and Carl Anderson. Did I butcher any of those?
No.
Pretty good.
Awesome.
First time, last time for any of that, because it's
true.
Be horrible with names. I'm too. So it doesn't
matter. All kinds of ground today.
Exactly. So yeah, in Humanity, I was going crazy because we interviewed one of the other co-stars of the movie at Buffalo Dreams, and I was like, I was going through his IMDb, and I'm like, this isn't making any sense. I'm not able to see what movie this was for. I remember talking to him, and this used to be called Six Pack Sam. Correct. So was it your decision to change it, or was it something with the distribution that had you change it?
Yeah, we went with Wild Eye Releasing with Rob Hochschild, and he suggested we change the name because he felt like it would be a little bit confusing. He thought on a bigger market, going with Six Pack Sam, he thought maybe people would think it was a workout video or it was some country hickey kind of a thing. And I was like, well, I hear all that. So he pitched us a few names, and Inhumanity, we just kind of rolled with that. I thought that, hey, it's like, your space. If you think that's a title that, will do better, then go for it. That's fine with us. We weren't really, we were liking the name and we liked Six Pack Sam, but we were so tied to it for so long that I just said, let's step away from that and kind of roll with what Rob thought was best for the film to get it out there. So,
yeah, and Six Pack Sam is still a pretty kick-ass character in the movie. So still in there, but it's just, it's just not the focus. Well, because he's in the movie, but there's so many other cool characters, and you guys all act in the movie.
That's right.
Besides, so Joe, you directed and wrote the movie.
Correct.
And now, are you guys, besides acting in the movie, were you involved in the making of as well, like production or anything like that?
Yeah, Javier was the cinematographer.
Nice.
And Carl. When you make a movie like this, everyone's helping in the production a little bit. So Carl did a lot, of production stuff as far as helping us out. But he also just basically was a main actor in the film. But me and Javier, he ran the camera and did all the other production stuff that you have to do on a film. So
how difficult is that to jump in between, the cinematography and also acting in the movie?
That was actually really hard for me because I'm not the best actor.
Your character was really cool, though.
I'm very humble, and I would get in the room with some of these guys, and these guys, like, trust me, I don't know how they show up on the film, but they are really good at what they do when it comes to acting. And I was a little intimidated sometimes, but we're setting up shots, and we're setting up the lighting and all that, and everybody – the talented actors are rehearsing, and I'm over here setting lights up, and I'm like, I'm the one that needs to rehearse right now. I'm the one that needs to go over my lines. That was probably one of the most difficult things for me. But Joe is, that's, if there's one thing he has with actors when he's directing, is patience. And he let myself, we'll just run it over, run it again. And finally, when I would get into character and he saw I was more comfortable, and he started directing me a little more, and that you...
He liked it because when he was acting, I would have to set up the lights and he would always try to tell me what I need to be doing and where I'm putting things and where I'm messing up. I'm like, why don't you just concentrate on your lines that you don't know yet? And then I'll worry about these lights for right now. But we had fun. We had fun doing it. It was definitely entertaining on set when we had to switch roles. And I got to act a little bit, so he got to direct me, and he really enjoyed that thoroughly.
I thought both Joe and Javi were awesome as their characters. Oh, that totally. You know, you pick a character and you do something that was consistent.
Well, I mean, I'm a nice guy, so having to play a bad guy, you know, Joe
I'm a nice
just
guy too.
Joe transitioned into an asshole. It's like, well, that's kind of his life already, you know. He's just, like, really. Just hit record, man. I got this.
Your gag's a piece of work. I mean, there's a lot of dangerous guys in this movie. Yeah,
but he's kind of like exactly. And one thing I noticed too, because I was going through your IMDb, is you're wearing a shirt for one of your other movies.
Yeah, that's right.
The golf course scene, right?
Which is my face on the shirt.
Yeah, he's Vern.
The star of that movie.
Yeah, he was Carl was the lead in the Vern, which was my first feature film that we all made together. It was the three of us and another guy, Carlos.
It was a much smaller production, but I think
Carlos
just
the Jackal.
It was pretty good too. Good story.
So obviously, you guys have worked in the past together. Have you worked on like other projects besides those two, or have you guys like worked in besides in this capacity? Like, how did you guys all get together?
Well, I met Javier in a film class we took with Steve Mims in, I think, 2005, was it? 14-week film class, and he wanted to act, I wanted to direct, so we kind of teamed up. And then after we took that class, you know, we made a few short films in that class, and I wanted to make a feature film, so I wrote some stuff, and then we found Carl just kind of cruising the internet, trying to find some actors in town. We had just recently moved here, actually, me and Javier both. Carl had been here a while teaching film school over at one of the places downtown.
Austin School of Film.
Yeah. So I ran in, and I found him on the internet, and I met up with him, and I thought he was perfect for the Vern. So we cast him, and we worked together on that, and we've just been friends ever since.
Yeah. So when it was time for round two, it was like, let's go. Yeah.
So does that mean there's going to be a round three and round four? Are you guys going to continue to work together?
I know you're, yeah. Carl's mad that he's dead and he got killed. Oh my God, I guess I shouldn't say that and give away anything. Damn,
I know. I can't help. I can't help but sort of dropping that when I'm talking to people, though, because it's such a great scene.
Well, yeah, but you know, you slip up and say that, but people haven't seen how it happens. So
right.
Don't want to
exactly. Yeah. You know, it's not like this kind of movie. There aren't a lot of bodies dropping, so it's no big throw. Yeah,
we got to try to keep a spoiler-free zone here. We'll try.
But there is some, like, even though it's not a ton of gore, there is some cool gore in the movie.
There is.
Oh, well, holy shit. I have to tell you, the chainsaw scene, oh, my God, that was awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Not, know, not giving spoilers.
That still hurts.
Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, you talked to Ford Austin, you know, over at Buffalo Dreams, and him and Gene Batista, Gene found us that chainsaw. And he ran all over town finding this old chainsaw for us. And, you know, Ford had shot some things like this before. He's like, well, we need to go to the store and buy a bunch of meat. I'm like, okay. And we got a bunch of fake blood. And then we got a mannequin. And we just got all this stuff. And then him and Gene and, you know, they worked on that whole scene for a while. And then that was a real chainsaw. And it was really going. And it was very dangerous.
And we'll be making right there.
Still have all of our limbs.
Totally worth it.
Yeah,
totally worth it.
Levi was really nervous. This is the first film Levi would play Sixpack Sam. You know, it's his first film, and we were kind of telling him what to do. He's like, "So you want me to like really run the chainsaw?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude." He's like, "Okay." Action! Yeah. It's like really get one take, so go for it.
Well, tell you what, we got a bunch of people on Facebook right now, and we do have the trailer. Would you like to introduce us?
Sure. This is the trailer for Inhumanity. You know, I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, you can, I hope you enjoy it.
You can register that at Walmart, right, on DVD?
Yeah, you can actually walk into Walmart right now. It's on the shelves and buy it. Or you can order it online through Walmart or Amazon, Grindhouse Video, Family Video, and Best Buy.
And I want to remind everybody, or actually tell everybody, because I didn't say anything in the beginning, if you check show notes down below or up above, you'll find a ton of information about the movie Inhumanity, all the links to find it online, and all the information about our awesome guests here. And without further ado, here's the intro, and we'll also... Sorry, not the intro. The trailer. Here we go. 1 minute 10. 1 minute 10. All right.
What about the six-pack Sam case? Why was it closed?
Just leave it be.
All these years and you're just gonna turn like that? What are you so scared of? You got this, girl.
You're preaching to the choir.
We are back.
All right. So anyway, yeah, sure. We weren't talking junk. That's okay.
We weren't talking about you at all.
Not at all. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about your particular characters a little bit. We'll start. We haven't really talked to Carl much. So do you want to maybe describe your character in this movie?
Sure. He's I call him a piece of work. You know, he's
a piece of something.
Certainly playing more than one side. He's not particularly, the nicest fellow you ever met. He's not afraid to pull the trigger. He's a cop, and he's not a straight up cop. He's
crooked, a little dirty.
A little dirty, and he's embraced the role. And I had fun with him, though, I'll tell you that much. I'm a pretty nice fellow in real life. All my friends are like, how come you're always like every one of your parts, you get some guy who's got a gun in his hand. And I'm like, I don't know. When I was living in New York way back in the day, I did an audition and I booked a part doing something for this like Chinese video. And it was a whodunit thing. And I was playing the bad guy. And the guy, he said, you look like a bad guy. And I was like, I guess that's it.
Nice. Well, yeah, you definitely pulled it off. And that being said, a lot of the worst characters in movies, like as far as like, you know, all the big slasher guys are generally really nice people. You know, it's the ones that are like the little pretty boys that are always the one that are like, you know, kind of like egomaniacs. Oh, yeah. Same here. Yeah, there's some just like these people that are very intimidating that give you nightmares are like teddy bears. It's awesome.
That's how Levi is. He plays Six Pack Sam. He's a big old teddy bear.
Yeah.
You look at him sometimes. And when I met him, I first saw him at a pool party. I was like, dude, you look like a serial killer. You should be in my movie. But he was really nice about it.
Yeah. He's like, thank you.
Yeah. He was like, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, and Javier, your character is an interesting character. Where did you get the inspiration for your character?
Well, it's funny because I chose that character originally while Joe was still writing the script because I thought it was a small role, but it was a good role, and I kind of wanted to mess with it. I kind of wanted to be the bad guy a little, but like I said, Joe was still writing the script, and of course, for some reason, Joe extended that role. And it grew into a much bigger role than I thought it was. And like Joe said before, whenever I'm in the camera, he's doing some of the lighting, and that's what made me nervous. inspiration, I mean, yeah, it was, I don't know. I mean, I think we had fun with it. I wanted to, like I said, I struggled a little with, some of the scenes and getting, what I really wanted from the character, and we went back and did some ADR, and I kind of made him a little tougher and put a little accent in there. I don't know if you noticed, I don't know about like inspiration. It was really all Joe just trying to tell me, what what he wanted from it, and I added a little some of my own character in there, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like if there was any particular characters like from any previous movies that you know maybe were just like I'm gonna add a little bit of this or add a little bit of that. Well, I thought it was a really great character.
There was someone that I was trying to imitate, which was if you've seen Kill Bill in part two at the very end, she meets the guy, Bill's friend, that tells him where Bill is. Mm-hmm. And he has that cigar and the accent and all that. But I mean, that guy's a very talented actor, man. It's
Michael.
Nice.
I do that a lot when I'm acting. I'll be like, this reminds me of something, and I'll sprinkle it in. I didn't do that necessarily with this, but I do it, and I always think it's a good thing to do. Like, well, it reminds me of this slick character in this movie, I'm gonna put it in myself, and usually there's something good coming.
Yeah, yeah. And then the one thing too is it may not even come across that's the direct inspiration. But you're pulling out maybe just something that you liked about that character, because
a little homage. It's a little homage. You're basically going, I'm going to put a little. I mean, directors do it too. You hear Scorsese and Tarantino talk about it a lot. How they go, oh, we wanted to do this like that. You know, it's
yeah.
Javier wanted to play golf and he wanted to do a hair flip.
The hair flip was not planned. It was all part of me being in the moment, you know. But
what he's talking about is the hair flip. It's like, what do people say about the hair flip?
I get a lot of laughs from it, man. It's funny.
Guess how the lighting was for the hair flip. Do we need to do it again?
He likes to complain about the lighting when he's acting. Wonder why that is.
Well, I was going to ask Joe, how long did it take you to write the script to get the full fleshed out coherent story?
I had the short film, you know, and then we decided to do the feature. So about 3 months I spent on it to get to a draft that we could kind of go through. And I think it was January. We started going through it in January and then rewriting it. So about spent 3 months doing the feature first, and then we rewrote it through January, February, and then we started doing pre-production in March and start shooting that April. So, and then things changed as we were shooting because scheduling and locations would fall through, so we had to do some rewriting. And you know, it's just the nature of it when you're doing something kind of on a low budget. You just don't have the luxury of having those. You have to make some compromises, unfortunately. Yeah.
That forces you to be creative in a way that sometimes gives you, you know, a gem too.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, one of the things that, you know, we've seen throughout our time doing the show is how long it takes to get a movie done from beginning to end and actually released. So it was last year. Was it around November ish that we saw Ford at Buffalo Dreams. So the film was done then, and did it just come out? Like recently on Wild Eye?
Yeah, August 14th is when it was released. So yeah, it was about a year after Rob signed up with Rob Wild Eye Releasing. It's been about a year, yeah. So yeah, it's crazy. You just never know.
Yeah, I mean, there's movies that, you know, anything could happen between the time it's you know, written and, you know, released.
Yeah.
Well, we're still waiting for Buckout Road to be released. That still hasn't come out.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah,
Buckout Road. What's the other one that she put out?
I don't know. There's a couple directors that we've, you know, become friends with, and it's just like, I really want to see this movie. You've been talking about it for 2 years, and it's just like, it's, you know, hasn't happened. I feel bad because, you know, anything could happen. Like I said, anything can happen. Like, not to bring it up because it's a, you know, it's kind of like a horrible situation, but that that whole new movie with Kevin Spacey that was released and it made like $200 or something on like opening.
Oh, weekend. Yeah. I heard
it was
about
done like 2 years prior. It was like completed. It just wasn't released yet, but everything, all this other stuff happened. And it's like, that movie cost $15 million to make and you made 200 bucks on opening weekend.
Right. Wow.
That's painful. Yeah.
But anyway. And then you have people that are perfectionists that,
we know on purpose. Yeah.
Joe Stauffer. We bring him up all the time. He wrote, directed, and produced Pieces of Talent. And it took him 5 years to put this movie out because he kept going back thinking, the music's not right here. I need to change something, or this needs to be reshot. Or, and so between conception and final edit and out, 5 years. It's just amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's a, you know, it's
not knocking it. I'm just, it's amazing how long some things.
I know people that like they make one and they just never quite make the whole, it never quite gets finished. And it never gets to the table for anyone to really look at. And it's somehow their whole lives get caught up. And it's art, you know, making movies is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. That was the big thing. This one is like, I want to tell these guys, I'm going to finish it. Cause I know so many people that have started these feature films and just never finished it.
Yeah.
And that's the tough thing, getting 60-70% done and then they sit on the shelves or they don't edit it or they don't finish it up the way it should be done. Yeah. So that's what I
think what some people have an issue with is that, you know, because it's art and at some point they have to let their art go. You know, that's like, you're not going to perfect it. It's not going to be 100%.
Right.
You know, it may be in some other, like the spectator's eyes, but in your eyes, you're always going to see something that you could have done differently or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
And at some point, you got to just you just got to be like, all right, I'm done with it. Just here you go.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, at this time and moment, this is what we did. You know, we'll move on to other things, but this is what we did at this time and moment. And I can't go back and continuously nitpick over things.
Right.
And you'll be on it forever. It's movie's never done. You just quit.
Yeah. Right. Now during, I'm sorry. Actually, Leo, you were trying to say something, and I interrupted.
No worries. Actually, Fonz McCoy says the movie looks good. I'm going to go buy it and watch it. And for those of you watching now, it's available now through Wild Eye at Walmart. So if you go to Walmart right now, you should be able to find it. And also, Kevin, what are you drinking tonight? You drinking anything?
So I told you guys the transition would be uncomfortable and weird, didn't it? I'm drinking water because it's 9:25 where I am. And I have to go to work in the morning. So,
but you got your cup in front of you, don't you?
Well, I have
an empty cup in front of me. But yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So do I. I need to get up at 5:30 and I'm drinking hazelnut tonight.
There's a reason why you're not very productive. I don't know.
If I was gonna drink coffee, what kind would I drink?
Yeah.
Well, Deadly Grounds Coffee, they're a sponsor of ours. And absolutely amazing coffee. We've talked about it way too many times on a show because we absolutely love it. He does something special with roasting the beans. He does like little oils in the beans while he's roasting. Just
to flavor it, he does oils as opposed to powders.
And it's nice. Mm-hmm. Now, is this Deadly Coffee have a little more caffeine than the average coffee?
Nope. It's not like there's another coffee that's overly caffeinated. Mm-hmm. And I've tried it because I'm a fan of caffeine, but it tasted like chemicals to me. Mm-hmm. So I actually, we stumbled across Deadly Grounds at a horror convention. He had a booth there and we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then we legit were buying coffee like nobody's business. We went to one convention before the convention even started, Leo would spend $100 on coffee. For real.
Well, next film, we'll have to make sure we get some Deadly Coffee.
Right? Yeah, definitely. And then, it's, you know, We spend a ton on anyway, so we're just like, why don't we work with you? Because we talk about your coffee all the time. He's like, all right.
why don't you pay us to drink your coffee?
About your coffee.
The thing is, like, he supports the network, and then we turn around and just buy the coffee anyway. So it's like, you know, whatever.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, we literally just switched hands this weekend. He just sent me a payment that was $5 less than what I paid him this week.
But anyways,
The only one that we know of that buys more coffee than us is Caroline Williams.
Yeah.
And when she knows he's going to be at a convention, she brings an extra suitcase just to bring coffee home.
Yep.
Wow.
This is crazy. But we absolutely love it. But don't listen to us. Here's a zombie talking about Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Texas Frightmare at some point.
And Gail says the movie's at Best Buy as well.
Nice.
It's also on Amazon.
In the store?
And, Michael Brian McReynolds says, awesome job, guys. And
so I just want to clarify, Best Buy still has movies?
I
didn't know that was a
thing. I was in there, actually, yeah.
Do they still have movies? Because every time I go in there, it gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah, they have a lot of games, for sure.
I used to work for Best Buy back in the 90s, and when I worked there, they still had VHS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
That's a long time ago.
It was the 90s, yeah.
The 90s.
I showed my kids a VCR, and they were like just looking at it like this.
Yeah.
Like, what don't understand it. It was like, just don't worry about it, kids. You'll probably never have to worry about this again. just remember, be kind and rewind. All right. Yeah.
You put it on the table, really, like, my phone has better resolution than this. Why are we watching this?
Well, you really want to blow their mind? Show them a cassette tape.
Yeah. Oh, there's a thing on YouTube. I don't know if it's on YouTube or Facebook, where it was floating around about these kids. These, I don't know, they're probably like 14 or 15. And I guess the parents set them up. They put up one of the old rotary dial phones, and they wanted.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Show me how to use this. And the kids were just literally like, they had no idea what to do with the numbers. They were like just so confused.
They didn't know that they had to pick up the receiver to make a call. So they're just dialing. Dialing the number. And one girl's like, "So what's your phone number?" She goes, "My phone number is," and they bleep it out. But she goes, "Okay." And then she just leaves the receiver on the hook and she dials the number. She goes, looking at it. And she goes, "Oh, I know what I did wrong. I know what I did wrong." And then she just does the same thing. She's like, "So the number doesn't really have to be where the circle is." So you just go, digga, digga. It's like, dude.
Yeah, pretty much how we used to do it. Yeah.
The worst on those was like growing up when I was trying to like call ahead for a movie to get movie times, and it was always busy. You'd have to dial like about 10 times. Your finger was so sore by the end of it.
Oh, first world problems.
First world problems. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my finger's so sore from calling a movie phone.
Like, you know, in our household, we had three boys. Not that we were blowing up the phones or whatever, but when you have one phone line, it's like, man, it's tough.
Yeah.
No. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my parents.
You never have to call 911. It just takes forever.
I got startled over. I hit 8 instead of 9. You know, it's like.
Back in the day too, you always had those like commercials for you know, the 800 number or 900 numbers that would charge you.
Yeah.
And I actually called the Freddy Krueger one once. Then I ran Elm Street 1 and I got in trouble because I didn't ask my parents permission.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. Anyways, yes. Has nothing to do with the movie that you guys are here to promote.
So, not to give anything away, but...
because I still have... I haven't finished it. I'm 20 minutes from the end, yeah.
Okay. This statement is usually followed by a spoiler, by the way.
Yeah.
Not to give anything away, but... Yeah. You know?
I don't want to give anything away, so it's very hard to phrase this. But have you already started working on something else after the...
I'm actually working on a project right now that I'm hoping Ford Austin will star in for me. It's a psychological horror film that I'm writing right now, kind of in the realm of a stalkerish type theme. And then after that, I'm going to work on the sequel to this film.
I think that's what Leo was. Yeah, it was a sequel. Something after this.
I kind of knew where it was going.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that'd be cool to see Ford. Yeah, see Ford as like the lead in the movie, and the other one, you know, not the sequel. He's a good dude. He's been around a while. You guys have all been around a while. So Carl, you were talking about you had mentioned stage acting. Mm-hmm. At one point, is that something you still do, or is that, you know, when you were in New York, is that what you did? Or
that's what I did in New York. Yeah, I was in my, you know, early 20s when I moved to New York, and I just started writing plays. I had a, you know, kind of a, maybe a group of maybe six or eight of us that all kind of drifted into New York from New Haven. that were, we knew each other. And so like I, so I had a built in, you know, people I knew already that I could put in my plays, and I knew other people that were writing plays. And so I got in some, and when I got here, I, to Austin, I didn't, that was 23 years ago. I didn't find a great theater scene, and I was writing a novel at the time. So I like spent like 5 years writing this novel that, never came to fruition. I mean, it's readable, but it, like, I never found a home for it. And then I started writing scripts, and I got back on the stage at that point. I've been on the stage maybe 3 or 4 times in the last 10 years, but mostly it's film and stuff. I've been on a few TV shows, a lot of independent stuff, working on a screenplay right now.
Nice. There's a lot of, I mean, Texas is a gigantic state, but there's a lot of filmmakers out of Texas, and so there's a lot of opportunity out there, and a lot of really gory, crazy stuff, a lot of like really touching stuff. So you have a kind of like a pretty large array of different kinds of projects to get involved with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So one thing, just to bring it up because you brought up the stage acting thing, is I'm a big fan of going to like local theater and stuff like that. So I always point out whenever anyone brings it up that if you have a local theater in your area, go check it out and support your local actors. You never know who you're going to see on stage. Maybe, you know, there may be someone who's just from the area or just, you know, visiting, and they're doing a show and you don't even know, you know. It's
could be Tony Todd.
Yeah, could be someone that.
It's a great experience. We actually went to New York a couple of years ago to watch Ford on an off-Broadway play. Ford Austin did something. I think it was a Tennessee Williams play.
That's right.
And he was really good in that. It's I haven't been, you know, to a show like that in a long time, but it's an experience everyone should try to definitely.
There's nothing like it as an actor, because it really, I mean, it's the opposite of. I mean, you're doing the same thing as you do on film, but it's go, and once it's going, there's. You don't stop. Everything has to go in order and paced out. And so, if someone misses an entrance or something, it can get kooky, but it's exhilarating.
Yeah, I don't think
depending on the show too. Yeah, depending on the show, like you're getting like almost like instant gratification for what you're doing as well. So like you're getting a reaction, like if it's a comedy or whatever, or even if it's dramatic, you may be getting some kind of reaction. It's like, I don't know. It's that the amount of energy that's there is like, I've seen a lot of everything from dramas to comedies and, you know, musicals and stuff like that. It's just like the amount of energy in the room is like, just, it's great. That's why I recommend it so much. It's like, it's different than watching a DVD.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
It's
It's good.
But you should still watch a DVD. You should go to Walmart.
Totally.
Humanity.
Totally.
Yeah, you'll get you some deadly coffee and then stay up all night.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, more importantly, head on over to either Walmart or Best Buy and pick up a copy of Inhumanity out on DVD right now. And if not, check it out on streaming shortly by Wild Eye Releasing.
Yeah, Wild Eye puts out some good stuff.
Soon. I'm thinking probably the next week or so should be streaming on Google Play, Amazon, Vudu, Xbox, and Overdrive Media.
Nice.
Which I've never heard of Overdrive Media, but
neither have I. And I
know that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm just learning about Twitch.
Well, if you're a big gamer.
I'm driving.
We were talking prior, but Twitch, each game has its own tag. There's a special tag for shows like this called IRL or in real life. A lot of shows are starting to stream on Twitch that way. Since YouTube's been such a pain in the ass.
Hey, we're still on YouTube.
We are.
Not for long. Not with that kind of attitude.
We talk about this stuff after the show. Reports. Anyways.
We get reported anyway. I get copyright notices all the time. It's crazy.
Well, we stopped.
So tell me what you guys thought about Darcel Danielle and Diana Rose, the two lead female actresses in the film.
Awesome.
That's all you have is just
awesome.
Well, I was just looking at Darcel's IMDb. She's going to be in Alita: Battle Angel.
Mm-hmm.
She was definitely a very strong character. Definitely kicked some serious ass. It was And then, you know, her alter eagle.
Eagle?
Her alter eagle.
My ultimate eagle. Yeah.
The one that fills in.
Yeah.
Diana, you know, it's it was definitely watching both of them play, you know, against each other, especially towards the end. You know, yeah. It's very enjoyable.
Yeah, that's one thing, you know, especially with like lower budget independent stuff. And, you know, even this people that we know that they make a lot of movies with the same cast, but, you know, they just switch things around and everything. And a lot of times there may be like a few, you know, weak links, like acting wise, but there's nothing that stood out. That's why I was saying with Javier, I was impressed because you were talking about these people that were like, oh, these are great actors. I thought your character was very enjoyable. Like,
you
stood out in the scene and it was just like, you killed it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to control it right now. I don't know if you can tell I'm blushing, you know, but no, that's awesome to hear.
And you'd probably say that all the shots, you know, the cinematography when he was acting was phenomenal also. You know?
Oh, yeah. During your scenes, the lighting in particular, phenomenal.
There was a lot of stuff we had to cut out, you know, that I was in. Like, you know, I had a lot more scenes that were cut out because
the lighting camera was cool, in the middle of a scene, the light just falls on you. Yeah.
Especially, Joe's excuse was, well, the movie's too long, so we had to cut some stuff out. He cut all his cinematography out. It's fine.
I only need
need. Don't want to give anything away, but especially that one shot at the end, and then it pans into the city. Is the lighting?
Well, I don't know what that
is. Yeah, we shot that in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, on the Eiffel Tower. Was it the Eiffel Tower?
The Eiffel.
Eiffel Tower. Jesus.
Empire State Building.
Talking about Vegas, or
you should be a tour guide.
Yeah, we shot that on the Empire State Building when we were up there seeing Ford for his play.
Nice.
And, yeah.
It was like 40 degrees. It was freaking freezing up there, and I think I got hypothermia.
It was 40 degrees, but the wind chill factor was like negative 20. Man, it's so extremely windy up there.
Well, you guys are from Texas. You don't get like the cold weather.
Hey, I used to live in Pennsylvania. He used to live up north.
Yeah. But if you're out of it for a while, but if you're not in it.
I wasn't so cold here, but all it is freezing.
But, I mean, even still, like, by the time winter kicks in here, it's like, it'll be, you know, 50 degrees and we're, like, freezing. And then by the end of the winter, like, 50 degrees and we're in shorts, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it you know, you got to adjust. You've been in Texas for too long is what it is. But yeah. So where did you like? You said that you guys moved to Texas around the same time. Where did you? Where were you guys? You said you were from Pennsylvania.
Lived in Pennsylvania when I was a kid. I moved to Texas in 1985. But I lived in kind of the Southeast Texas Golden Triangle is what they call it, near the border of Louisiana. A little school I went to was called Orangefield High School, and then. You know, I stayed in that area for a while, went to college there, got my degree in nursing, bachelor's degree in nursing, and then moved here in 2005 to pursue some film stuff. There wasn't a whole lot of film stuff going on in Southeast Texas. So
yeah.
I came to Austin to see what was up with that. And
I think you still do nursing?
What's that?
Do you still do nursing?
Yeah, I work in the ICU. Yep.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm from South Texas. So I grew up in Texas, but I did move to Austin in 2005 as well. But yeah, I grew up over there close to South Padre Island, in a town called Brownsville, Texas, which is named in several movies here and there.
I've heard of the station. You know?
Yeah.
Brownsville Station.
The band Brownsville Station.
Oh, okay.
It's a border town to Mexico.
So,
you know, one of these days, I'll get to Texas. I've been wanting to go to Texas. Like, they have a really good horror convention out there that I really want to go to. So,
yeah, Texas, one of these days.
Blood Bath and Beyond, they were heading to that as well, right?
Yeah.
They've got to it a couple of years.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this year he was talking about buying his tickets recently.
Oh yeah, I had thrown it out there with Tom from Deadly Grounds that if they do end up going, that if you need anyone to work the booth, let me know. And he's like, "Oh, I will." I'm like, "I'm serious. I will work your booth." I don't care. Just give me like an hour a day to walk around. That's all I need. But yeah.
The only thing is you'll be in the coffin in the hearse surrounded by coffee.
Yeah. That's one of the things he does. Yeah. Yeah.
Deadly Grounds. Oh,
sorry. Yeah, he goes to the conventions in a hearse, and at his display he has a coffin that's filled with coffee. So
nice.
He does it all up. He does it all up. Yeah. But anyways, enough about that.
Yeah. Well, actually, speaking of Deadly Grounds,
what?
And,
we already played the ad.
No, I know.
That was a great change.
No, we have about 15 minutes left. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the trailer one last time, and then I'll even out the whole segment to 2 minutes with a Deadly Grounds ad. So here we go. Trailer for Inhumanity available on DVD right now. If you head on over to Walmart, you can get it on Amazon, Best Buy as well. Inhumanity, awesome movie. We highly recommend it. And here we go. Inhumanity.
Hello, six pack.
What about the six-pack Sam case? Why was it closed?
Just leave it be.
All these years and you're just gonna turn like that?
What are you so scared of?
You got this, girl.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Frank.
I think that's worse.
We are back.
All right.
We're just talking about butter, everybody.
Butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horror movies and butter. That's
right. I had to go get me some whipping cream. Yeah. Some heavy whipping cream.
Nothing, Leo.
He knows what's going on now.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he does.
And he was like, wait until we told him about Ronald Reynolds.
Oh, geez. I'm not taking any more breaks. Yeah, I'm not going to take any more breaks. Anyways, So, you know, like, you know, you guys have obviously, you know, you've worked together a few times. Now, do you guys work apart often? Like, I know you're planning on doing something with Ford where he's the feature. Now, Carl, you've done a lot of other things as well, like teaching and stage work. How often, like, do you do other things during the day or?
I've had to do all kinds of different things just to sort of keep the doors open, as it were. I have a little part-time security job. I'm writing a script for money right now. It's always nice to get paid to write a script. Get my fingers in a few different pies, and I've never really had a full-time job. Because I've always somehow like figured out how to sustain on some level. I mean, I've been pretty broke, of course, but I also have. So as far as the creative, I have a few different camps where I've made movies that, you know, I'm in line to be in the next one, and they're, you know, the camps get better and better. Mm. I made a movie called Strings a few years, right around the time we made The Vern, with Ben Foster and Mark Dennis, not the actor Ben Foster, but these are cats I've been working with about 10 or 12 years. They just made a round two. I'm going to be in part of the third movie they make. So, you know, you get in with people, and if you like each other, you'll probably work with them again.
Yeah.
I've already got a role for Carl in my next movie.
Nice. But it's good to, like, you figured out how to do a part-time thing, and then so you can act more. You know, there's a lot of people that I'm, like, amazed. I'm like, I can't believe they hold down a full-time job and are still able to do all this. You know, it's like, yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
Everybody, I don't know how anyone can do a full-time job ever.
I mean, pretty much everybody that worked on this project, you know, other than Carl, worked a full-time job, and it was tough. It was scheduling, but it's crazy how these people that worked on this movie for us, you know, they sacrificed a lot of free time. They would get off work and come and shoot for 4 or 5 hours and go home and sleep and come back and have to go to work the next day, you know, and it's just amazing. I gotta really give it to everybody that was involved in this project. We couldn't have done any of this without a lot of dedication and hard work from a lot of really talented and dedicated people. You know, Daryl and Diana Rose and Daryl Mitchell. You know, Freddie Kakish, if I said that right.
Kakish.
Yeah. Eugene Batista. I mean, those guys were like they were money for us when we needed anything. So
yeah.
Now, Javier, do you do cinematography outside of working with Joe, or is this like
well, honestly, I've kind of been a little busy with work. I've done other projects involving, you know, cinematography, but no other features. I've only done the two features because
I did that one with you.
Yeah, I've done a couple of them, but they were shorts, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I use up all my PTO on features with Joe, so, you know, he kind of, you know, that's kind of how he keeps me around, you know. But I think it's funny because, you know, I would go on vacation for like 10 days from work, and I'd go back, you know, looking like crap, you know, because I've been on 14 hour sets. And everybody's always like, oh, how was your vacation? And I just felt like strangling them. You know, I said, you know nothing.
What vacation?
Yeah, exactly. This is a vacation.
This is my vacation. Yeah. I'm back at work, you know. Yeah. Have an easy, you know, job in a chair, you know, looking at a computer all day. So, but I, you know, I don't know if you guys are interested or not, but I want to get into writing a little. I like comedy a lot.
Nice.
And that's something that I'm looking forward to doing, especially if I don't have to do sound or work on sound for Joe anymore in post. So
he claims he's the funniest person that he knows.
I mean, I don't know that many people, and these are guys I hang out with. So.
Funnier than me. Come on. That's what he claims. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, I don't claim that, guys. I would never. I'm very humble. Very humble.
So, Carl, have you ever thought about getting behind the camera and making your own film? I mean,
I've done it. Yeah, I did do it. It was. Boy, it was the first really the movie I made, and I had like a two-man crew, kind of like what we did, and I shot the whole thing, and then I was about to do some, like, I dumped the, I'm not an editor, so, but I found an editor, and I kind of dumped all the footage in, and we were just sort of lining it all up, and then a horse fell on me, and my leg broke right when we were about to do some reshoot. So I was laid up for 6 months. And then as soon as I got better, I was like, okay, a couple months back on my feet. And I started going, all right, now we're going to try to do that. And then my marriage fell apart. And I was like, how come every time I go to edit this movie, some catastrophe befalls me? I don't think it wants to be me.
Well, like Joe,
so I never got back to it. I mean, I think after the second, I was like, I'm scared of it now.
So is it?
When you hear about this horse falling on him, with that story that he tells a lot. Like, every time that we did anything where there was like a little bit of action, he's like, there was this one time a horse fell on me. I want to make sure we're going to be right here. Snapped my leg in two.
I can't belittle the story. This horse snapped my leg in two like a pretzel, man.
I'm defending him right here. I would be telling that story all the time as well. If a horse fell on me, I'd be like, a friggin' horse fell on me. Like,
other stories from our movies.
Like, when we'd be shooting, there'd be new people on set. I'd be walking by, he'd be like, and then there was this horse, and it fell on me.
Well, it was also pretty fresh back then, by the way. I mean, that was only like a year and a half removed from it.
I got stepped on by a horse. Does that count?
No.
It hurts.
Sounds pretty bad.
It hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. Anytime a 2,000-pound animal steps on you, that's probably not good.
Yeah.
You don't want to see the bone in your leg sticking out of
nope,
it.
Nope, I do not. Or the bone in anyone else's legs. I don't want to see any of that.
I tell you, honestly, it's pretty much like you should run tape on.
Yeah. Honestly, Leo, it's not the same thing with a merry-go-round horse stepping on you. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
No.
They can be pretty nasty. They're pretty fresh, as we know from that one movie.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's true.
What was that one called? Carousel.
Yeah.
Carousel.
Yeah, it's really a possessed. It's like a comedy horror movie where a carousel horse. It's like killing people. But there's a sex scene in it with the carousel horse and a girl.
it's fun, Tijuana, but you have to pay to watch it.
Right. I mean, it's a very low budget, you know, like obviously, but it's, you know, it was a fun movie.
It's really bad.
We like them all.
Yeah. Girl's already looking at his phone out of my
Carousel.
Yeah.
Oh, Carousel.
Nice. That's a good title.
Totally gonna put my eyes on
I won't forget that, right?
Anyways, so yeah. So we already know what you guys have in the works. Is there anything else that you guys want to promote before we wrap things up?
No, man. Just go watch our movie, man, and give us a review on IMDb or Amazon and just, you know, get people to go to Walmart and buy it and stream it when it comes available. I just want people to enjoy it and have fun with it. We made it just to have it's just a fun movie. We just made it to sit back and relax and just enjoy it and have a blast.
Definitely.
Check it out.
Let us know what you think about the ending, Kevin.
What I'll do is I'll put a review up on IMDb as soon as I finish it.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Amazon. Do a review on Amazon.
All right. I'll do both.
Copy and paste, right?
Go to walmart.com. Put a review there.
Well, you probably could, actually.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, they have reviews on Walmart, yeah. For sure.
I'll do that. Yeah. And I'm just curious. Javier, if you actually do the comedy thing, you know, you're talking like a comedy movie, not like stand up comedy kind of thing, right?
Yes. No, I want to write a screenplay. You know, I mean, Joe's probably going to be helping me with it and stuff because we do a lot.
I'm a lot funnier.
Yeah, I got to put up. This is what I got to put up with, right? But
that's true. I'm very funny.
Well, his fiance laughs at his jokes, which, you know, that's why we love her. But
doesn't she have to, though?
Isn't that the one that told him he was driving?
She got here, so that's
I'm driving. I'm not driving anymore. I'm right behind you.
But yes, I do want to write. A lot of people have told me that I should probably focus on comedy instead of all these crazy killer movies, but I'm like, well, I'm not a writer. Joe always tells me, like, I'll help you out and I'll help you, you know, I'll direct or whatever. But, you know, you got to get something on paper. So that's kind of what I want to do.
We've got an idea brewing for a comedy that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're going to work on that. I do want to do a comedy film, but I have this movie that I want to do with Ford that I think is going to be really, really good for him. And so I think it's going to be a good project.
Yes. So I really like that idea that we've got.
Psychological horror film. Sure. I really like it. It's gonna be a lot different than this film for sure. It's gonna be it's gonna be more centrally focused on one character, and it's gonna be a lot more, we're gonna give us an opportunity to kind of fine-tune some of our craft from the cinematography standpoint, from a camera work standpoint, from a writing standpoint. This was kind of our, you know, have fun and do a lot of crazy stuff movie, and we're gonna try to get a little bit more darker. I wanted to go a lot darker on this movie, but they went resistance. This one I'm gonna.
One thing we've been seeing with a lot of indie horror film creators is they have been switching genres every now and then, just to switch things up. But also, because there is such a influx of indie horror movies, you know, a lot of them have been doing either comedy or
action flicks, you know, just every once in a while, just change things up. Yeah. Harrison Smith was doing horror, and then he just released a comedy. That was his first genre switch, right?
Mm. Yeah, which one are you talking about?
I don't think Harrison Smith.
I don't think he directed Garlic and Gunpowder.
I thought he did.
I don't think he directed that. I don't think he did.
Really?
Yeah. Anyways, these are all things we can talk about afterwards. But anyways,
we didn't really go into this trying to make a horror. We're kind of real big fans of the Coen brothers, and you know, we really like their style and their storytelling. Kind of, I like having multiple characters and things going on, and I think that just keeps me more interested in film in general. I like having the little different characters that just add different levels of stuff to the story. So we knew it was kind of different going into, like, you know, the horror market in a sense of where we have these horror elements, but we're not really focused on really.
The movie's not, from what I've seen of it, because I'm only 20 minutes away from the end of it, but it's got horror elements, but it's not really, if you're turning it on expecting.
It's not buckets of blood.
It's definitely not
buckets of blood and arms being ripped off type stuff. It's a little more subtle, a little more psychological kind of going on stuff. But the ending, you'll get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm. So last minute comments. Jan McCoy said to tell the guys, can't wait to see their next movie. Michael Brian McReynolds said, awesome movie. And Gail Hill says, thanks. Thank you guys. We love you. And
thank you, everybody.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So, where can people find you on social media to keep a track of what you guys are working on? Because I want to know when this comedy is going to get made. So I want to know who I can follow to find out when this is happening.
Well, right now I'm pretty much running all the social media for Inhumanity. We're at Inhumanity Movie on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The same handle for all three. And I don't really get on my personal. I don't even really know what my personal handles are. Really, honestly, for Instagram and
I don't know if Facebook.
Your Instagram is
mine. Now my fiance Maggie Margaret Marchant is all over Instagram. Yeah. So
On Instagram, I'm at Javi Cohen, which is JAVICOEN. I'm not as active as I am on Facebook, but Facebook, I don't know the handle on it. I'm horrible. I should have probably gotten that, you know.
That's Javier Garcia, and you just look for the beard.
Yeah. There's only, like, you know, 15,000 Javier Garcias in your state, probably. So, look for the beard, you know. And then there's a lot of pictures of my family. My mom posted all over. You know, you probably won't see any pictures of me, you know, like, unless you scroll all the way down.
On Twitter.
Instagram.
Instagram,
you're
I'm JoeMC18.
I'm Carl Andersonius.
Good luck spelling that. You probably usually blew a bunch of people's minds. Like, Carl Andersonius.
Carl Anderson is with a K. Carl Anderson's with a K, and that's my Facebook. But no, Instagram, it's Carl Anderson, IUS. Carl Andersonius. That's not that hard. Prompted by Yahoo.
Yeah. Yahoo gave the idea, and he just ran with it for like 20 years. So
that's one of my monikers now.
Yeah.
Andersonius.
You should just throw some numbers and symbols behind that. That'd be great. Carly said he's like 2594 and hashtag.
But it might be easier for me to find you guys, you know, and then I'll friend you guys on Facebook. Yeah. It might be a lot easier.
There you go.
And if you want to learn more about Inhumanity, the movie, check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us. You're going to find a bunch of information there. And also, Kevin, I was right. Harrison Smith did direct it.
Okay. I thought he didn't. No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad. For some reason, I knew that.
Kevin,
Deadly Beat.
I knew that.
You called it like five different names. Deadly Coffee, Deadly Beans, it's Deadly Ground.
I knew Entertainment Factory was behind it, but I didn't know that he directed it. So, but that's all. It's good. Good for him. Totally. I want to check it out.
And this is the one time where you got it right.
Yeah.
He's not going to sleep tonight because he's going to be in bed going, yes, yes.
I know.
You got it right.
He's going to run up to his wife and go, can I get a gold star? I was right tonight.
Oh, my God. You're not going to believe it.
I got something right.
Jack to walk off in the wind for the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'll
I got the names right, and I got Harrison Smith right.
And no technical issues tonight.
Oh, you just jinxed it.
No, very smooth. He's had a battery over here, but
okay,
he's talking on his end. Yeah, you can find me on YouTube. You can find me on YouTube, the 13th Wolfman, Twitter at the 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman the Prowl, every Sunday in the Dorky Tuesday here on the Wicked Horror Show, doing the horror one with Kev. When we're done with that, we're doing the Wicked Horror Reviews, and you know, just check out what I got up now. I'm always putting something new up over on YouTube. So
Kev? What is the 13th Wolfman? What is the 13th for?
Well, when I first started the YouTube channel, I was going to come up with a really cool backstory, you know, about the family being cursed. And in my head, this sounded really cool, you know, for the character. But In all honesty, 13 is my lucky number, and the Wolfman is my favorite all-time Universal monster. So the 13th Wolfman.
You missed a golden opportunity. You could have said it was your Yahoo screen name.
No, actually, my Yahoo screen name
who gave it to me.
It was back then. It was 1313 Thomas because it was the Munster's address, and it had the number 13 in it.
You know, just so you don't feel bad, at my previous job, marketing director still used AOL, and every now and then he'd forget that his speakers are on, and you'd hear "You've got mail," like, and I'd scream out, "Holy crap, we time traveled again!"
Yeah. I like that the marketing guy is the one that's using that. Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. He's really got his finger on the pulse. Okay.
He's always seen that in the whole social media thing, right?
Yeah. So my turn. Okay. All right, you can find me A Knuckle on Twitter and Instagram. And also every Sunday on the Dorkening Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, doing stuff with Wolfie, and check out Wicked Horror Show and the Dorkening on iTunes, everything. So the audio for this episode is going to go up probably like a week or two. So if you missed it or you didn't see the whole show, go and check out the audio for it later on.
You can listen to us while you go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify.
All right.
Wherever you go.
Yeah. Okay, so we do the show multiple times a week live every Sunday every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We do the Dorkening Roundtable Discussion every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do the Wicked Horror Show, where you see interviews with fine people like you saw tonight. And every other Thursday, we do the Ultimate Video Game Show. And you're going to find us, that's at 9 p.m. as well. And we're going to be at Super Mega Fest having a table October 15th, 16th.
I don't know.
You said like 14th, 15th or something
right.
Like that.
We'll figure it out. Anyways, we'll wrap things up.
We'll figure it out before October comes, and then we can tell you about it.
So thanks again, guys. Thanks again, guys, for joining us. And congrats on the movie. And, you know, go to Walmart, Best Buy, wherever, and buy it. And, that's about it.
Thanks a lot, guys. That was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun tonight.
Thanks for everyone
for
watching.
And have a good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye,
guys. See you. I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.